Well, let's pray over the word. Dear Heavenly Father, we're getting ready now to get into the word. The word is our food. It's not the food for the natural body, although the natural body benefits from it. But it's food for our spirit. And Father, as we get into the word today, whatever I say, whatever the Holy Spirit has laid upon my heart to share with your people, may they grab it and may they run with it. We thank you for your word because your word is what we live by. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Well, welcome. If you have your Bibles, which you better, or else instruments or whatever it is that you connect with now, open up to Matthew 13. Matthew 13. I'm using the King James translation. That's the one I usually use. I don't know. It's the New King James. It's not King James, it's a new one. So, some people have a hard time not using the King James version. But we won't be religious about it. In Matthew 13, let's go to verse 19. 13:19. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. I'm going to read that verse again. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. Well, you know, it's pretty interesting in this parable, especially when you get into Mark chapter 4 and it deals with this particular parable. It talks about the same thing, that Satan comes immediately to steal the word. And how he's able to do it is because he does not understand it. And a lot of people do not really realize what that word understand really means. How many of you know that it's very clear that in your Bible, especially the Old Testament, it says wisdom, God himself made available his wisdom so plainly and clearly that you find it crying out in the streets. That means that God has not taken any form of his wisdom and put it someplace where it cannot be attained. You can have the complete wisdom of God. Now, according to Proverbs, the word wisdom literally means the principles. The principles of God. And it's very interesting. In Proverbs, the entire book of Proverbs, we find wisdom mentioned, I think I counted them, it was 58. 58 times that the word wisdom is mentioned in Proverbs. And what I thought was very interesting is the word understand is also mentioned 58 times in Proverbs. And when I looked up Proverbs in the area of wisdom, and you can check it out for yourself, I noticed that the word understanding always comes after wisdom. And so we know that the wisdom cries out in the streets, or God's made it available. Did you know that that was God's responsibility? to make sure that you get his wisdom. But guess what? It's your responsibility, not God's. It's your responsibility to get understanding. Did you get that? When you look in Proverbs and you look up the word wisdom, then you look up the word understanding, which follows it. I found it a couple of times where understanding came before wisdom, but when I found it a couple of times like that, it was stating that wisdom had already been given. And so, therefore, understanding always follows wisdom. The wisdom of God is what God made available for man. But what God tells us, it's up to you. It's your responsibility to understand it. And it's very interesting that I've found after reading my Bible for quite a few years that Satan does not want you to understand the wisdom of God. When I was in the park and Jesus appeared to me, Jesus spoke some words to me that scripture. He said, "My son, be as wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove." And that's all he told me. He turned around and walked off. Well, I didn't understand the meaning of that at first, but now during the road of time, I discovered how important those words were. God don't say a whole lot, but when he does say something, it can be just a few words and it's powerful. You just have to sela on them. And the term harmless as a dove means do no one any harm. But when he said the wise as a serpent, that confused me for a long time. But then I begin to realize that God does want you to understand the wisdom of Satan. But in order for you to understand the wisdom of Satan, you have to get an understanding of it. And I thank God, especially New Testament, he has clearly defined the wisdom of Satan and how to deal with it. Because the word understanding, it's very interesting. It literally means, the word understanding literally means how it works and the purpose for it and the results of it. Now, in the New Testament, they use many different words for the word understanding. I don't want to get into all of them. But it's very interesting how Scripture will take this word understand and use it in its text. And it speaks back to you how important understanding is. Now, what does it mean that Satan, what is it that he does, and what is it that he uses to exercise control over our life? What does he use? What does he exercise to gain control over our life? Well, I'll tell you, he deals with our thought life. He deals with how we think. And I'm going to tell you three things here that I've learned over the years, not only out of Scripture, but out of my own life. Number one, he is able to manipulate our thoughts to coincide with his. He is able to manipulate our thoughts to coincide with His. Number two, we are the only one that allows Him to interfere with our choice of thinking. We are the only ones that will allow Him to interfere with our choice of thinking. And number three, He imposes His thinking on us in violation of our free will. He imposes His thinking on us in violation of our free will. Now, I want to say something that's very important. If you will, go over to Genesis chapter 2. And in Genesis chapter 2, go to verse 17. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you surely will die. And in the Hebrew, the word here, die, is muth. And it's referring to two deaths. And he says, and the Lord God said, it is not good the man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. And so you know the story. And he created the woman. But the woman fell into the temptation of the adversary simply because she didn't understand the knowledge of God. She knew about God. She had some insight. But evidently, when you get into the New Testament, you discover something very clear. But you don't really see it in the Old Testament, and mainly because of our translators. But in the New Testament, it said Adam was not deceived. Right. He knew thoroughly what was going on. Yeah. Now, he told him not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's very important that you understand what took place here. When God said, you shall not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, was that a promise or was that a command? It came out in a command first. Then what followed was the results of why He commanded them not to eat of that tree. Now I want to ask you something. Down the road of time over years, we have learned church insight that never really belonged to God. We have learned insight that has come out of man, but Satan was behind it. And so what Satan, his motive was, is to keep you from understanding the wisdom of God. When he said, you shall, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. For in the day that you shall eat of it, you shall surely die. Now, we don't really know how God fellowshipped with Adam and Eve before the fall, because the Bible doesn't really tell us that. Now, I've had people kind of say, well, he was the tree in the midst of the garden, and I studied all that out, and it is referring to a literal tree. And the literal tree was to sustain physical life off the fruit of it. And there was a literal tree in the midst of the garden, and it was fruit on it. Now, I think these are symbols. I don't really know what took place because the Bible's not clear on that. But the Bible did reveal something to us. And the first thing that the Bible revealed to us in this action that was taking place is that God planted the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the midst of that garden. God planted it there. Now, I'm declaring to this church, as your pastor, I am emphatically convinced, and my heart is settled, and it's steadfast, and there ain't anything you can do to convince me otherwise. I believe in the open view of God.
Amen.
And what I mean by that is God works with our time frame. And he doesn't work with it in a foreordained understanding to where he could take advantage of man and play a chess game with him. And I'm going to tell you something. Back in about the 13, 14, 1500, somewhere around there, I don't know the exact time frame because I was trying to find my notes that I was reading on Calvinism. And when I read the doctrine of Calvinism, I said, my God, I'm looking into the mind of the wisdom of Satan himself.
Yep. Right.
Because anyone that thinks like that has got to be sick in their thinking to think that God would create man and then treat him as though he's some kind of machine and winds him up to set him in the direction he so desires. And how can you attach the love or divine love of God to someone that, something of that manner of creation? I do not believe that.
Amen.
I believe that when he said, you shall not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, right then and there, whether you realize it or not, he was saying, Adam, you have a right to choose. But what advantage would God have to give a man the right to choose? The advantage that God would have is to make sure that man had the right information to begin with. Because he said, Adam, don't eat of that tree. Because when you eat of it, you shall surely die. He was referring to a man's physical body and his spirit. And he says, the choice is yours, buddy. And from that moment on, man was responsible to see to it that the realm of dominion that God gave Adam and Eve, that realm, belonged to Adam. Now, I don't know the full story of why Adam did not obey what God had let him know at first, but I knew that Adam did not fully understand the ramifications of the choice that he made. But God planned redemption for man because he knew man would have to have a free will to serve him. God did not carve us as images. He created us so that he can pour his love out on us, not his wrath. And so after the fall, I followed it through in detail, and I've learned that before the flood, man did not know how to die. I guess there was almost 2,000 years before actual judgment fell. But Adam's family, which is funny, Adam's family. Adam's family, they knew about God. And when I was following through the links of the time frame of these children that were offspring from Adam, you'll find in between many scriptures, they'll make the remark of what God had said. So they knew God spiritually. They didn't know him through their physical man. They knew him through their spirit. But over the road of time, man's mind, his mind began to take over his spiritual thinking. And then his outer man began to dominate his inner man. And we find that in Genesis chapter 6 at verse 3. Where he went to one man, Noah, and said, Noah, I have to do something about flesh. Because now man is one with it. And I can no longer communicate with him as spiritual. Now, when it says over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I think it's verse 17, that when you get born again, you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. And all things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. What Paul was referring to there is when you become a new creation, and you can look it up in your Strong's Concordance, it says creation, a new creation means back to your original position with God. You now have the ability to communicate with him through your spirit. Now, we've been teaching, and I've taught it before, and I'm recanting it. I taught that the temple of God was found in the body of man. But when I caught it in the Greek, it finally dawned on me what one of the epistles was saying, that the temple of God is in the man's spirit. That's where the Holy Spirit dwells, is in your human spirit. And the reason redemption was brought the way that it was is because the two that were separated, God had to do something to make them one, and that was to separate their inner man from their outer man through identity so that they both now can then begin to function together as they're supposed to by God working in his spirit to dominate his outer man. Amen. And Satan on the outside of the realm of God wanted to make sure that you did not come to the understanding, especially of what it means to be born from above. Of what it takes to make men new creations in Christ Jesus. Now, God from the beginning never denies himself the privilege that the entire human race is based on man's freedom of choice. Listen to me. The faith method would collapse without it. If you did not have a freedom to choose, then the faith message would collapse without it. Faith is our free human response to a divine revelation. Faith is our free human response to divine revelation. Yeah, but Pastor, what about Romans chapter 9, 10, and 11? Thank you. Because that will indict Calvinism. Yes. And the Calvinists will go to those chapters to prove Calvinism. They don't know how to interpret those verses. They're whack jobs. And I'm being honest with you. Those who uphold Calvinism teaching is under a seducing spirit. Their minds are dominated by a spirit that will lead them off course, because the word seduce means to lead someone off course. Now, you and I don't have to worry about doctrines of demon that much, because you and I know that there's only one doctrine that's valid, and that is life through Jesus Christ, period, over and out. And if you don't have Jesus, you don't have life. But when you receive Jesus, you have newness to life. Praise God. But if your soul has been put into a place where the Word of God and the knowledge of God is not made clear for your understanding, then you are in trouble. And I got news for you. I don't care what label they put on their building, even by His Word. If it ain't by His Word, move. Get into a place where you can get the Word of God. Now, I'd like to say we have the complete Word. But you remember, we look through a glass dimly. And so we do the best that we can to stick to the Word of God, because it is the authority of the perimeter of our thinking. And without the Word of God being understood, then your mind will trespass in all kinds of areas your mind has no business going. I love that bumper sticker when I saw it. Don't let your mind wander. It's too little to be left alone. You know, Henry Ford said something that was real powerful. He said three things. Coming together is a beginning. Did you know that your soul only had one understanding, and that was through the mind of the senses? But when you were circumcised or identified by separating your inner man from your outer man in your soul, then what happens is your soul now has an opportunity to rethink things through the Word of God, so that it can escape from what it only knew from the natural realm. And so that is what we call taking the Word of God and bringing a togetherness in a beginning. And then keeping together its process. The reason we do that is to keep the process going. It says, though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Glory to God. So keeping the process going. And then the last part, it works together. It's so they work together for your success. For your success. For your success. I'm going to tell you something, people. When I learned how the mind functions, that has done more for me to overcome sin in my own life. Because now I can make a distinction where my thoughts are coming from. Are they coming from the realm of Satan, or are they coming from the realm of God? You've got to have the Holy Ghost today, people. I'm telling you have got to have the Holy Ghost. And you've got to learn what it means to let that anointing of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you work. You've got to learn how He works in your thinking to protect you. Hey, listen, there are some things that I thought God was in. And when I got into them, I found God wasn't. Eek! How did that happen? Because Satan convinced me God was in something I had no business being in. Aren't we glad to know this stuff? Wouldn't it be nice if we could go home and take the skin off and see our brain? and look at this physical brain and say, you know what? You are the dumbest, stupidest thing I've ever seen in my life. Because my spiritual mind is within my physical mind. God created it that way so that my spiritual mind would function in this realm through a sensual mind. And that's why he said, don't eat of that fruit. Because what it'll do is your eyes will be open and you'll know what is right from what is wrong. And that's one thing we didn't need to know. I hope you're getting something out of this. Because I'm going to tell you what, when you get into the New Testament, the word understanding has several different meanings. Now I'm going to tell you something that is vitally important in order for you to get a hold of the word understand. Because we read it in Matthew 13. Or was it Matthew 13? Verse 19. Here it is. The word understand has different meanings to it. And I think it's a word that many of us use, but we don't realize the power that's behind it when it's connected to the word. One way the word understanding is mentioned in scriptures, it means to be able to perceive something. And what's very interesting, the perception of something comes by what you see, and then you order up a thinking by what you're seeing. It is an understanding that comes through your senses, synesis. Now listen to me. Without the Word of God, you have no control over what you're seeing. That's why if you don't understand well, how important it is for the Word of God to rule your thinking, then your thinking has no way of knowing what is right from what it's wrong by what you're seeing, because Satan saw to it that a nature got into our outer man that is very much alive today in us, and we've got to learn how to recognize when that nature is speaking to us and when God is speaking to us, and we need the Word of God to speak to us, because that outward nature always speaks to us. And if you think that you're going to get a free ticket with God, I got news for you. We got an adversary that doesn't want us to have a free ticket with God. And so when the adversary hears that we're hearing the Word of God, the first thing he wants to do is remove what God has said from your thinking. And how is he going to do that? By making sure you don't understand why God said what he said to begin with. Is this making sense to you? Hallelujah. Now, I said, God, they weren't born again. They didn't have the privilege that we have by receiving the Holy Spirit on the inside of us for this inward anointing. And he said, I not only did something for them, but he said, I did something for you. And I said, well, what did you do? He says, you inherited the mind of Christ. Somebody in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 said, well, that's talking about the Holy Spirit. It is not. How you inherited the mind of Christ is through circumcision, being born from above. It means your spiritual mind was separated from your natural mind, and there's where Jesus walked planet Earth. He walked planet Earth with the divine second member of the Godhead in him. And his mind had what you call a natural mind, and his soul also had deity dwelling within it. And his outward man submitted itself to the inward deity to what? to grow thereby. And it says he grew and waxed strong. And then when it come down to the sacrifice of his outer man versus the information that his inner man was giving it, that outward man who knew no sin did not want nothing to do with surrendering itself in death.
That's right.
Yep. And that was what he cried out in the garden. Somebody said he cried out great drops of blood. He did not. It was like great drops of blood. It was sweat. He was in turmoil because his outward man, who never knew no sin, was crying out because he knew that he has to be a sacrifice for the sake of you and I, taking our place for the sake of you and I, so that we would have life.
Hallelujah.
And he would lose it.
He
was not talking about what he was as deity. He was talking about what he was as humanity.
Right.
And when he hung on that cross, the sacrifice was made complete when he said, "It is finished."
Yep.
And now there's some teaching that he went to hell and suffered the terms of hell. But people, you got to realize, if he went to hell and suffered the punishment for every sinner, then every sinner is saved. It's ridiculous. He went to the upper regions of Sheol, which is called paradise, for the spirits who had received him beforehand. He had a waiting place for them until he came and made the declaration, "I have victory. I have succumbed." And when it said he went into the heavenly utensils of worship, you know what he did when he went into the heavenly utensils of worship? I heard a pastor say, and he had to go up there and he had to cleanse the heavenly utensils of worship with his blood. I'm going to tell you something, people. There ain't nothing that's going to get in heaven that's unclean.
Amen.
It said when he entered into the heavenly presence of God, he seated down at the right hand side. And the heavenly utensils of worship is a man's spirit brought back to life to God. So when Jesus entered into heaven itself, before the heavenly Father, it was a declaration, "Satan, I got news for you. You can no longer enter the third heaven and accuse anybody anymore." And there are believers today that think that Satan can go right into the face of God today and accuse us when we do wrong. That is a lie. Because if Satan could get into the third heaven, what in the world would he say to God about us? Because Jesus is seated at the right hand of him. And if he has a complaint, "Come to my son." He paid the price for the one on the earth. No, he lost that privilege after the book of Job. And if you understand it according to the Septuagint, it ain't the same as the King James translation. That's all I'm going to say about that. But another word for understanding means to perceive with the mind or to consider something. And this is called noeo. And listen, this is the mind Satan travels on. That's the one he'll go to your mind and travel on that mind. Why? Because Satan no longer has a will over the anointed of God. He no longer has access to their will. Now here's the kicker. He now has no longer any access to even unsaved people's mind. He has to deceive them in order to buy into their will for them themselves to choose what they're choosing to do. And you know what that does? When you choose right from wrong, you're blessed. When you choose wrong, I'll tell you what, that puts God in a whole different ball game.
Yep.
And there's where Romans 9 is coming in. That when man chooses wrong It puts God in a different position to deal with man. And that's what he was telling Moses about Pharaoh. God was telling Moses, I want you to go and set my people free. And Moses saying, you don't understand. I'm paraphrasing. Do you have any idea? Of course God did. Because in Romans chapter 9, God said, when I send you there, I know what's going to happen to him. His heart is going to be hardened because of what I ask you to tell him to do. Because you got to remember, Pharaoh looked at himself as God. And so what did Pharaoh do? He resisted what God said through Moses. So God says, well, I'm going to get my way. And what happened? Bam. Pharaoh got hit again. Now, what do you think now? God says God to God. Little God said big God to little God. And it said he hardened his heart even more. And God hit him again. But you know what? God had his way. But you know what God said? Well, all right, if that's the place you're going to take, Pharaoh, if that's what you choose, I'm going to take the choice that you've given me, and I'm going to exalt it before the world how I am the God. And then he goes and says, doesn't the one who has formed the clay, made the pot, doesn't he have a right to show mercy on whom he wants to and on whom he does not want to? Finally got it out. Well, that's all predicated on what a man chooses. God, he created man, so it's up to God. He is God, regardless of whether he's the present God of this system. You know what I mean? But he's still the God of the universe. And he still has given man a free will. So God has to interact with the free will of man. That's why I believe in the open view. I don't like that religious thinking. I'm going to tell you, the thinking that Jesus hated and fought with was a religious spirit. Now, you and I, we don't have to worry about doctrines of demons unless there's something really wrong with your thinking. Because the doctrine of demon is a way that mankind has carved their own image of God to how they can go to God. And you and I know there's only one God. There ain't another God out there. But I got news for you. There's all kinds of gods here. Walking around on planet Earth. Well, where are they? I just look inside of somebody's mind that believes that Muhammad is the answer. There's a doctrine of demons. It's not a seducing spirit. A seducing spirit uses scripture to put you off course. A doctrine of demons don't use scripture. It uses something else. It forms another doctrine altogether. Now, I have a few minutes left, and I want to encourage you to do something. I do it every morning. I do it every morning. And I want you to do it the same way. Get up and start reading Proverbs. Because I'm going to tell you what God gave the Old Testament believer. He gave him wisdom through Proverbs. And he says, if you put your mind into my word through Proverbs, then you'll think right. Because he couldn't do it the way he's doing it now, by the infilling of the Holy Spirit. He had to do it through the sensual man. And so he used Proverbs. The beautiful thing about it is, now that we're born again and we have the Holy Spirit, not only able to speak on the inside of our heart, but we can still use Proverbs. Why? That's for carnal believers. God will take care of us whether we're carnal, worldly, carnal, or whether we're spiritual. God meets us on all planes. But the bottom line is, people, it's this word that is our food. It's what we've got to live by. And the word Proverbs is very interesting. Solomon was the author of the book of Proverbs as well as Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes is a very interesting word. It is looking at life under the sun from a human perspective. But did you know that Ecclesiastes, in the end, you know what Solomon had finally come to the conclusion of? You know how Solomon got where he was? Does anybody here really know how he got? Solomon sought God to lead his people by wisdom and understanding. And God was so impressed, he said, no one will excel you because of why you asked. And blessed him. And what did he do? He turned right around and hooked up with the wrong. Ladies, that has nothing to do with you in this congregation. But he hooked up with the wrong crowd. And they led his heart after other gods. But he came to his senses. And in the end of the book of Ecclesiastes, he said, nevertheless, the preachers of the gospel have designed their message to do two things. To put you in the right direction, because he used a prod, what they'd prod animals with to get them back in line. Because they put your life back in line. And number two, they fasten as nails, meaning, and God fastens your life together so it doesn't fall apart. And that's what Solomon ended up with, saying that nevertheless, let what the preachers say be the infallible word of God. And all his wisdom, he finally learned that in the end. The word Proverbs means to rule, to reign, to have dominion. One reference says it comes from the nature of God in the superiority of mental actions. The ability to live life skillfully, to deal successfully with the practical affairs of everyday life. You know, you get on TV and you get these ministers getting on there and say, boy, if you send me a whole bunch of money, you're going to really get a double blessing because I've been double anointed. I said, Satan, you're not going to talk to me like that. And I changed my channel. I'd rather look at a Western. You ain't going to feed me that crap. Double anointing. I do believe in the double anointing when it comes down to the New Testament, where it says those that give you the word of God are worthy of double honor. I thought I'd throw that in there in case you thought too little of me. Anyway. It means literally how to relate to God, parents, children, neighbors, and government. And government? We won't go there. What to avoid in people through their actions and desires. That's what Proverbs is about. It's called the common sense and divine perspective necessary to handle life's issues. Have you ever done something to the point you find yourself in the bottom of the bucket and somebody throws garbage on the top of you? I went to God about that and something in my life, and I'm sitting there and I'm praying, saying, God, I'm going to believe to get out of this. I want to believe to get out of this. And God spoke to me and said, so you don't like the fruit you're bearing? God, why are you always picking on me? Because we have the right to choose. The key word in Proverbs is wisdom. And if God's wisdom takes action in you, you will succeed, but you have to understand how to take. Because the word understanding in Proverbs, in the Hebrew, means literally, are you ready for this? Why and what to do. So the word there in understanding means take action. It's so you can take action. And guess what? You're going to take action by what you choose, not by what God has chosen, because God gave you Proverbs for you to take action. Gnosko is a very confusing word, but when you find it in the Bible, it clarifies Scripture. Such as, depart from me, I never knew you. It is a word, gnosko, and it means to come to know. It means a word developed by fellowship. And so when they came to God and said, we prophesied in your name, we've done wonderful works and everything, how come our prayers aren't getting answered? And God says, because you and I, we don't come into agreement with each other. I want to tell you something. How many of you want God's favor on your life? Guess what? God's willing to favor you with anybody. But he has to take what you developed in yourself for favor for somebody else. I've had the most unfruitless people come to me and say, I want you to pray that I have favor with such and such or so on. And I'm sitting there and I'm looking at the person and I'm saying, my gosh, I know this person. What is God going to use in that person to promote favor for somebody else? I could hear God going, okay, I'll put mercy on this one. Because favor means to promote the goodness that you find in someone. And that's why when you go in the Old Testament, it talks about favor through righteousness. When life brings skepticism and despair and confusion, but once seen from God's perspective, life takes on a different meaning and a different purpose. Did you get something here today? Praise God. So Satan does not want you to understand the wisdom of God. He can't stop God from promoting his wisdom. But he can sure stop us from understanding why he gave it. Now, yes, Lord. Now, this is what the Lord would say. There are several of you in this place. You have been given marching orders to do things for the kingdom of God. But God told me to tell you, there's adjustments that have to be made within us for those things to work. Number one is that our soul has to be anchored by the Word of God. That is more important than anything else. Number two is we got to have a hope in the gospel that we believe in, because it's an anchor to our soul. It means it will not permit our soul to wander around. The Word of God is designed, people, to put a guard over your heart. Somebody asked me one time, well, Pastor, what about the heart? The heart is your will. It's the center of your being. That's because that's where you process everything. Whether you're processing it through the spirit or you're processing it through the natural man. It is your choice. The heart of you, it's your choice which one you're going to follow.
Yes.
And yes, you have to have the hope of the gospel that you find through Christ to stabilize your soul. And I've got news for you. Quit worrying about anything. Because worry is of the devil. And when a person's worried, it because you're rolling over in your mind, you're rolling it over and you're thinking it over and you're rolling it over in your mind. And I'm just as guilty as any one of you. And I keep thinking through the process and keep rolling it over my mind and thinking it through the process. All them negative thoughts that Satan wants you occupied with. And you can change it. And so the Lord told me to tell you there are quite a few of you out here. You have been given marching orders to do something, whether it's on a large scale or a small scale. Did you know even a small scale is important to God? And don't go to God and waiting for His timing. Go to God and look for your timing. What you said in yourself. There's only one prayer that you and I are to pray, if it be thy will. You want to know what prayer that is? A prayer that you would pray to devote yourself to God. That's the only prayer that you would say, if it be thy will. What you devote to Him. All the rest He's made known His will. You just have to go where it is and understand how it works. Hallelujah. Stand up, everybody. God doesn't hold anybody up. We hold ourselves up. If we would look into ourselves, we would find not only perfect timing, we'd also discover our fruit. Some of it we can like, some of it we don't. But this morning, before I close, I want to encourage everyone to be full of the Holy Spirit, baptized in the fullness of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. With the evidence in that accompanies it with that prayer language. I've been studying Scripture on the Holy Spirit, and I've been learning some things just here, just recently, that shocked me. How man has so watered down an understanding of what it means to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Don't you come to me and tell me tongues are of the devil. Because I'm going to tell you, when you say that, it coming out of your mouth, that's the devil speaking to me. And I can say, I rebuke you, Satan. Yep. Tongues belong to your inner man. Amen. It's a language that God left your outer man out of. Thank God for that. Everyone needs the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the fullness of Him working in you. And to get that energy going, they need to be praying in the Spirit. Because that's where your energy comes from. Why do you think Jude, when he started out with the book of Jude, say to contend for the mind that was once delivered to those 12 apostles? Why do you think he said that? Well, he ended up with how people get so deceived in the body of Christ, from fallen angels clear through to present day ministry. And he says, but you, beloved, you pray in the Spirit to build your most holy faith. And boy, I don't neglect that daily. I pray in the Holy Ghost. Not only when I'm in my personal prayer closet, but when I'm driving or when I'm out doing some shopping. I pray in the Holy Ghost when Sue sends me to the shopping. I don't do a bad job, do I, Sue? Yeah, I always bring her back what she... I knew you would bring me back what I needed. I know what it means for the Holy Spirit to recall what was said. She tells me, no, this is what it looks like. This is the packet. This is what it said. And I forget, and the Holy Ghost reminds me. It works. You need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You don't want to end up in religion. It's just too natural. Hallelujah. God wants us all spiritual. For the natural to benefit. I get a little nervous when I see religious people showing a greater reflection on the kingdom of God than spiritual people. So if you've never been baptized in the Holy Ghost this morning, that's available. If you've been struggling with finances, the best thing for me to tell you is not to pray for you over that. You have to make decisions concerning your stewardship. Now, I can pray that God gives you the wisdom and how to deal with money, how to deal with credit cards, but it's up to you what you do afterwards. Somebody one time went up to Kenneth Hagin and said, would you pray for the influence of the devil to leave me? Kenneth Hagin said, good Lord, if I could pray that prayer, I'd pray it for myself. Hallelujah. And I know that God has been speaking to quite a few of you for direction. And you haven't allowed your natural way of thinking to shut down and be calm. And I can pray that you get under the anointing of God to be at peace so that you can think right. I can pray that prayer. But it's up to you to yield to it. Physical healing, open your mouth and speak it. Hallelujah. So with that said, those of you that need to come forward, feel free to do that. Anybody? Direction. Baptism of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Don't be ashamed. It's okay. Hallelujah. Also, come forward for timing in your life. And I'm going to give you a little secret. I can pray that God will show you what fruit you're bearing, because that has a lot of bearing on your season. You know, farmers, when they plant, they have months and seasons. They know when to pick something. And sometimes, if our fruit is not there, then we can't really expect that season for us. But if we do something about our fruit that we planted in us, wow, we can find the right timing. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen and amen. Father, I thank you for these wonderful people. And Father, may they have a safe trip. May they have a safe trip home. And we hope to see Huxwing. Bye.